Something is going on at the Small Business Administration. Accusations of whistleblower retaliation, turkey farming, hostile work environment, and widespread morale problems. The OSC investigated. SBA says they're trying to root out waste, fraud, and abuse. What's the real story? Join me, Jason Miller, Tuesday and Wednesday morning at 7:05 for my special investigative series, Discouraged and Disrespected at SBA, exclusively on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
When snow hits the D.C. region, turn to federalnewsradio.com to find out whether your agency will be open, closed, or delayed. Sign up for our email alerts for the same great information.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Nick Wakeman, Editor-in-Chief of Washington Technology. Nick, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Mark. Glad to be here.
Always good to have you. You gave a briefing a short while back on sort of an update on the top 100. What's going on here?
There's a lot going on in the market, as I'm sure you know. The big thing we were covering most recently is wrapping up the M&A activity of the past year, and the top 100 companies are extremely active. Out of the 99 deals, 37 were done by top 100 companies, and they're buying all kinds of stuff, market share, new customers, technology, and some of them actually are making divestitures. I think there were nine top 100 companies sold bits and pieces of their business, and I think it really shows kind of where the market's headed, that people are trying to focus in on their core competencies and trying to get rid of things that aren't quite in that core.
Well, we had the run-up. it almost seems cyclical. You beef up by acquisitions, and then it comes, push comes to shove. Cultural conflicts, you can't really merge these things, a variety of issues, so you start divesting and going back to what you do best,
right,
or what the government wants.
Right, and I think that's the big driver here, is that the government is, changing how they're buying, changing what they're going to buy. Budgets are going to be flat at best, and which means that there's going to be little pockets under that flatness that's going to be growing, but there's other pockets that are going to be shrinking, and I think companies are trying to adjust to line up with government priorities and get leaner.
Okay. So give us a couple of examples of who's doing what.
Well, the biggest deal last year that we picked out was CGI's acquisition of Stanley. And that was really pretty a great deal for them and a great deal for Stanley as well.
It's on the cover of the magazine.
Right. It's our cover deal, top deal of the year. CGI got into the U.S. market when they bought the civilian business from AMS.
Yeah.
But they really had very little DOD and Intel business, and that was about 80% of Stanley's
work. Well, AMS was largely known for the financial side of government.
Well, financial side of government, but it did have a significant chunk of defense business, but that went to CACI.
Yeah.
It was a real kind of a three-part deal that they basically split AMS in half. So now CGI is a much broader customer base. They have complementary capabilities. I mean, Stanley brought in a lot of business process outsourcing capabilities to CGI. CGI's got some infrastructure work and stuff. So bringing those things together will be should be a good opportunity for them. That's what they see, and they're starting to see some. Their pipeline is starting to grow, is what they were telling me. So. That was a really big deal. The other significant deal in the top 100 involves both Lockheed Martin and CSE. Both of them ended up selling off pieces of their business. CSE's, I'm not sure how large the part they sold off was, but both Lockheed and CSE had to make sales to to comply with the organizational conflict of interest rules that the government's pushing out. That they, but CSC's chunk of business was, I want to say, almost $1 billion. It was a piece of business they unit they had had for 30 years, and they had to sell it off. So,
well, I hope they got sufficient cash for the deal.
Yeah, that one went to. I'm drawing a blank on who bought it, but it was a private equity group bought it.
Okay.
And then CSC sold their business to an Alaska Native corporation.
Well, okay. That's intriguing.
Yeah.
given some of the headlines recently about Alaska Natives, which one do you know?
Arctic Slope.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. 99 deals, though,
yeah.
last year. 21 of them were with top 100 being the buyers.
Right.
So, any of those outside of the Stanley deal really jump out here?
Well, you know, Boeing made a couple deals.
Mm-hmm.
They and they've been a very active acquirer the last few years, particularly adding, you know, command and control and intel and cyber capabilities. Those are kind of the hot areas that people are buying. But Boeing's been very active in that. They bought a couple of those, particularly they bought Argon ST. Which was a really good deal. The bankers say, you know, great price and things like that. But, you know, Argonne was a good company, is a good company, and really kind of shows that Boeing, you know, like Lockheed and GD are trying to, you know, shore up those areas that are away from the big platform side, more to the network side.
Well, and, you know, in the big platform side, given the bent of the new Congress to cut sort of 10% across that services, professional services side, that's got to have people sitting back going, well, where's the beef?
Yeah.
You know, where are the contractors? Where's the beef? so... And Jim Kane wrote a piece for you a little while back on some of this. Well, and I know that you made some comments in it on your blog. So
yeah, and we have a story that's going in the March issue that's going to really look at it more in depth. But we're definitely seeing a big shift in the business models of these companies to. You know, for a lot of companies, what they were built on and what the customer wanted was bodies. They wanted, you know, the way you made money was you added more, you build more hours, you had more people on site. And the government looking to cut back, you know, that's not gonna work. And plus, those big projects like that just haven't been that successful. So the big systems integration model is going away, and companies are trying to be, you know, leaner and more agile and quicker. Quicker bites of success, like in, you know, having deliverables within, you know, 60, 90 days,
right.
Instead of 2 years from now when, you know, the needs have changed.
Yeah, and I'm afraid to see the Wall Street reaction to all of this because, you know, they're like sharks in the water when it comes to 60, 90-day transactions. Ooh, this is hot. So we'll see more fluctuations that way. And I don't believe that's going to lead to any particular stability in our market except maybe with some of the smaller non-public firms.
Well, it's been interesting you mentioning Wall Street because I was at a presentation a month or so ago, Raymond James did, and one of their analysts was talking about looking at how the SRA and CACI, first part of the decade, were growing strong, valuations were going mm-hmm. through the roof. Second half, they're still growing, still good business, still, you know, double-digit growth. Their valuation has come down, and his argument is that Wall Street doesn't see, you know, sort of sees a handwriting on the wall that they're not just going to reward you for being big.
Right.
They're going to reward you for, you know.
Well, you know, back in the late 90s through the mid 2000s, I used to have pretty regular conversations with the Raymond James guy, Brian Alexander, who covered the channel.
Okay.
And we would, you know, chat about, you know, GTSI and CDW and a variety of the other players. So Raymond James has a clue. They've always had a clue about how the government does business and the stability, overall stability of the market. So I've always and I'm sorry I wasn't at that briefing, but I'm always glad to see them watching because they add a little bit of sanity on the financial side to this, as opposed to, and whenever I hear that a private equity firm bought any part of a government contractor, I flinch.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah,
they're big buyers. I mean,
they're huge buyers. Yeah. But you know, oftentimes they suck them dry and throw out the raisin.
Yeah, but I mean, I think there's in this market, especially the ones that are coming back for the second and third time. I think they see real value. I mean, you look at the success Carlisle's had, and
Carlisle's a little different.
Yeah, and Caxton Iceman that. They were funded Antion, and now they're funding AT Solutions.
Right. Antion, which is now part of GD.
GDIT.
My guest today is Nick Wakeman, editor-in-chief for Washington Tech. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the M&A activity with the top 100 and delve into some procurement and policy issues as well. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. For example, if you have a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you're going to end up paying over $400,000 after interest. That's almost a quarter of $1 million that you could be putting into your pocket instead of the bank's. I want to send you a powerful free CD to show you how. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. That's right, no credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. It's easy, it works.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
Stop getting robbed of your money and your future. Call now and I'll rush you a free CD today. Call 1-800-500-2884. For your free CD, call 1-800-500-2884. 1-800-500-2884.
And now Ask the CIO, brought to you by Vion Corporation.
Susan Swart is the State Department's Chief Information Officer. She says a new data warehouse will consolidate several different databases.
Currently have financial information, some parts of personnel information, and moving on to putting logistics information into that system, and then making it available to our various decision makers within management to have easy access to the information they need to make decisions versus kind of a manual process of going to each of the owners of those various systems.
CIOs and IT directors, is your network-attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power, Grantham University, and Aview Technologies. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell. Listen to Blueprint for Wealth every Saturday at 10 a.m. here on WFED, where we host special topics and special guests. This week, our special guest is Mahmoud Ahmed, CEO of Dices, an IT consulting firm serving Fortune 1000 companies all across the world. The show is sponsored by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a full-practice law firm located in Fairfax. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
I wasn't born to go with the flow. I was born to make a difference, to make waves. I want my sweat and hard work to mean something. I was born to serve in the United States Coast Guard. If you were born ready to lead, to protect, to uphold the law, then visit GoCoastGuard.com. The United States Coast Guard. Born ready.
Sponsored by the United States Coast Guard, in cooperation with the Maryland, D.C., Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Plan now to attend the Federal Senior Management Conference, the preeminent conference for federal senior managers, on April 10th through the 13th in beautiful Cambridge, Maryland. Presented by Fed Insider, FSMC is presented for government by government, with registration open only to government employees. Together with your peers, explore ways to execute the administration's newest policy initiatives to forward the business of government. Register now now at fedsmc.com or call 202-237-0300.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Nick Wakeman, Editor-in-Chief of Washington Technology. Nick, let's talk about the impact of the M&A activity on the rankings. There's always a lot of jockeying for position, move up the food chain, be in that top 50. And we were talking on the break, CGI, because of the acquisition, will break the top. I mean, they actually bought a company that was much further ahead of them in the food chain.
Yeah, Stanley actually, I think, was in just raw revenue, was larger than CGI's government business. CGI itself overall was bigger.
Big, yeah.
So it should push, you know, Stanley was ranked at 44, CGI was 82. So I'm thinking this should push them well up into the 30s. It won't leapfrog them up into the top 20, but as you get closer to that top 20, it gets harder and harder to move up a spot because everybody, you know, the companies are bigger and, you know, they're just very aggressively trying to, you know, hang on to market share and capture more market share. So I don't think in the top 20, you know, maybe at, you know, 20, 21, 22, you might see 19, might see some shifts there.
Top 10 shift, I'm not thinking.
Top 10 shift isn't going to be much. You know, we'll be working on that, start crunching the data here in the next couple of weeks. So
I always love that issue.
Yeah. It really, it's amazing kind of following just because it really reflects so much of what's going on in the market, just looking at what those top 20 companies are doing, what they're buying,
And, the ones that I really, really like to watch are the organic growth ones. CDW has been a steady performer for several years. Carahsoft came out of nowhere 6 years ago and should probably be, you know, last year I think they were 98.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there. And I'd be surprised if they didn't migrate up.
Yeah. Carahsoft, I think, is a neat company. Just their... You know, that the reseller business is so hard and just so different, you know, that I think what they've done and others are doing it too, that they, you know, being really focused on a few niche capabilities and this is what we do and we're going to be your provider in this instead of trying to be, you know, CDW can do it because they are so big outside of government as well.
They are a distributor as well as a reseller.
Right.
And they're very, very efficient. And they've been very, very efficient for a lot of years. That's, you know, they started off in the catalog biz.
Yeah.
And they've migrated from the catalog. They still do catalogs. Don't get me wrong. But it's not how they drive business now. They do an extraordinary amount of training. They've done massive market segmentation. So they have teams for not only education, but, you know, public school, you know.
And that's what you need. You need that focus.
That niche capability. And when their reps call those buyers, the buyers know these people know their business.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
And Carahsoft, you're right. You know, they focus on the technologies. But what ABOT's been able to do best, I think, is to take the filings like the OMB 53s and just intuitively figure out where trends are going to be funded trends, so they're hot, and then have some of the best technologies in your stable to leverage that.
Yeah, and that's, you know, whether it's M&A or other things that companies are doing, that, you know, the smart companies are doing that. You really need to kind of look at where your customers headed, what their mission is, how you can help their mission. Now a big focus is going to be on, you know, and we probably talk some about this some later, but a big focus is on how you can go in and help your customers save money.
Yeah, you know, the money thing, but we would touch on this with the acquisitions too. We were talking about this in either in the first segment or in the break, but the buying of customers, quote, you know, you buying a segment of an agent, you're not buying customers, you're buying relationships.
Right.
So that becomes even more important. If you Bob Davis and I cut some CDs a while back on the business development process, and a company he was with at the time had the perfect technical solution for an RFP. And, you know, he was doing the executive presentation to the board, blah, blah. And, you know, the guy finally said, well, are we going to win this business? Bob said, no, I wouldn't even recommend bidding the business. And the guy said, why? It's just because the customer doesn't know us. Boom.
Yeah.
So it happens. And let's are we done talking about the
M&A
rankings?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. We can.
Yeah. Well, what about the contract awards? There's been just a few.
Yeah, just a few. There's really been some pretty good size ones over the last 3-4 months, and not all of them have been protested, believe it or not. But some of these have been, you know, there's still continuing to be these big IDIQ task order contracts mm-hmm. coming out of agencies. You know, you had the CDC had a big $5 billion contract. FBI, theirs, I think, was $30 billion. Gosh, I mean, there was one other. IRS TIPS.
Oh,
that was
right.
A big,
okay.
You know, that was, I think, has a $4 billion ceiling. But what's kind of remarkable to me about these contracts is the number of companies winning them. It's still a huge number. You know, 30 on the CDC contract, 46 with the FBI, 33 with IRS. And they're really building sort of their own schedule, services schedules contracts, basically,
yeah.
What they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really shows that GSA still has its work cut out for it to kind of market itself as a procurement vehicle. Agency, I think.
Are you more, talking about the schedules?
Well, not so much the schedules, but you know, like Alliant.
Okay. Yeah.
Those mm-hmm. You know, they're big IDIQ contracts because agencies, I think, have migrated towards doing their own because it's like, well, we're special. We need, you know, these can address our own needs. They're designed specifically for, you know, CDC or you know IRS and. But it really puts a lot of pressure on the contractors because it's still. Money to bid on these things and no guarantee.
Yeah.
Especially when you know, the thing is, I would think even 3 years from now, we'll look at these contracts, you know, 33 on TIPS, and you'll probably see 8 companies doing, you know, significant building business and then a bunch with zero.
Well, but the same thing applies. You know, it's your ability to get into the agency.
Right.
It's your ability to know what they need and to develop those relationships
yeah.
so they trust you to share a little more information.
Right.
You know, on the GSA schedules, the top 2% of the vendors take 65% of the money every year. Why? They know how to sell from the contract, number one. They've developed the relationships for whatever it is they sell into those particular agencies that have that need.
Yeah.
And if you're sitting back waiting for the phone to ring for that task order to occur, you know, if you're burning incense just waiting, you know, it don't happen.
No, it doesn't. But yeah, you're right. Really, it's very much a relationship business.
Yeah.
And just because you have this contract, you can't just sit back. I mean, that's when the work begins.
Briefly, tell us about that dinner you went to the other night.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was at a dinner actually last night, and several large...
We're recording Friday, so this airs Monday, so yeah.
Okay. Well, then it was last week. And a lot of big integrators there, and they're all seeing their business model shift. And it's more, much more customer-focused, much more focused on... quick deliverables, much more focused on you know, understanding the mission and serving that mission, not mm-hmm. necessarily just, you know, billing more hours. I think part of it's, you know, the cloud. They see the cloud coming and that there's gonna be greater and greater adoption of that going forward.
Yep.
There's still a lot of one person made the comment that they've sort of been trying to define what cloud is and they've come up with 42 different definitions for what a cloud can be, which is just pretty incredible. You know, he said, you know, it's just because you talk to different customers and they go, well, we want to do this or can we do this? And, you know, so it's everywhere from just really, you know, Department of Interior putting Park Service photos out on the cloud. I mean, that's one version to, you know, putting your mission critical systems on the cloud, which very few people are doing.
Yeah. My guest today is Nick Wakeman, editor-in-chief of Washington Technology. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about coming up contracts to watch, and a few other tidbits here. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Here's Rear Admiral David Glenn, CIO of U.S. Cyber Command, on the Federal Executive Forum on Cybersecurity, sponsored by Lockheed Martin.
I'm what I call hunting on our networks for adversaries. That moves the defense from a more static capability right. to a more dynamic one in which we're actually looking for penetrations, getting inside that cyber chain of attack. For example, if you know you own a house and install an alarm system, that would be a static defense.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
It happens millions of times every day. Cyber attacks aimed at the networks that are the brains and backbone of every government program and military mission. At Lockheed Martin, we understand the importance of cybersecurity. That's why we build security into every system we develop and integrate. Assuring that our customers can carry out their missions without disruptions is all a question of how. And it is the how that makes all the difference. Lockheed Martin. We never forget who we're working for.
The latest from the Federal Security Spotlight brought to you by Cisco.
How does an agency get the experience it needs with IP version 6? Here's Sheila Frankel, computer security scientist at the National Institute of Standards and Technology.
And one good way to get this expertise and also benefit outside users is to take your web servers that are outside your organizational firewall and make them IPv6 capable. This will enable the agency to acquire expertise.
To hear the entire show, log on to federalnewsradio.com. Will the top-of-mind security issues of today be the issues facing government tomorrow? Get the latest from federal experts on FISMA reform, the cyber initiative, how government is combating botnets, spyware, and other cyber evils, and more. Listen to Federal Security Spotlight, sponsored by Cisco, airing Thursday from 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. or on demand at federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Security Spotlight is brought to you by Cisco, the leader in federal IT security.
The following statement has been authorized by Credit Guard of America. A nonprofit national helpline has been established to assist members of the public struggling with credit card debt. If you owe $2,000 or more to the credit card companies and are seeking relief, you are invited to call the toll-free helpline now for free information. 1-800-300-3320. This service is provided by Credit Guard of America, a nonprofit organization. The free helpline offers programs that allow you to cut your payments by up to half of what you're currently paying and reduce your debt to much less than you owe. Call the toll-free helpline now for free information at 1-800-300-3320. Again, a nonprofit national helpline has been established to assist members of the public struggling with credit card debt of $2,000 or more. Members of the public wanting to learn how to get debt-free and stay debt-free are urged to call the National Toll-Free Helpline now for free information and assistance at 1-800-300-3320. That's 1-800-300-3320.
Hey, Caps fans, make sure you check out the Caps Academy and youth hockey websites at WashingtonCaps.com. These are awesome sites where players, parents, coaches, and fans of all ages can find everything there is to know about hockey, including the basic rules of the game, advanced coaching strategies, and information on youth hockey programs in the D.C. area. You'll also find plenty of instructional videos and tips featuring Caps coaches and players. For all this and more, check out the Caps Academy and youth hockey websites at WashingtonCaps.com.
This is NIH Health Matters. I'm Joe Belinfi. NIH Senior Health, the health and wellness website for older adults, has added anxiety disorders as a topic. Dr. Jovier Evans with the National Institute of Mental Health says it is estimated that anxiety disorders affect between 3 and 14% of older adults in a given year.
Anxiety disorders frequently occur at the same time as lots of other illnesses, such as depression, diabetes, heart disease, or other medical illnesses. They may be misdiagnosed or not even seen. In addition, problems with changes in life circumstances that can happen to older adults may also complicate diagnosis.
For more information about anxiety disorders in older adults, visit www.nihseniorhealth.gov. Health Matters is produced by the National Institutes of Health, part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
In Depth with Francis Rose, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Want to know how Congress is affecting your agency's staffing and budget? Want to learn more about the relationship between your agency and its contractors? In Depth helps you become a better manager by exploring the best ways to manage projects, manage your workforce, and manage yourself. In Depth with Francis Rose, weekday afternoons from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Nick Wakeman, Editor-in-Chief of Washington Technology. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this part, but give us a few of the contracts that are important to keep your eye on here.
Well, there are the two Eagle contracts, the Army Eagle and DHS, the recompete of their Eagle contracts. We'll be watching how those develop. It's kind of funny that they both have the same thing, and they're both acronyms that mean different things. Another big one is the Strategic Services Sourcing Second Generation contract. That's been a pretty successful Army contract for a variety of services that they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
One that I think is kind of neat, and I think points to what we were talking about earlier about understanding kind of the niches in the marketplace, is the defense language interpretation and translation enterprises contract, and that is, I think, has a $15 billion ceiling, and it's for translation and interpretation services, which you think wouldn't be that big a deal. But if
one would have thought they were there, but when it comes to the nuances in those translations, we're not talking your Merriam-Webster rollover.
And these, a lot of these are people. It's a people contract. A lot of work, of course, in Iraq and Afghanistan and elsewhere in the world. But the money that will flow through it, or that they see flowing through it, really shows that these niches can be very lucrative pieces of business for companies. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the Navy recompete or follow-on or however you want to call it of the NMCI, mm-hmm. the NGEN, which is going to be a completely different type of contract than the first one.
One would hope.
Yeah. Actually, somebody the other day described the NMCI contract and as a bad girlfriend. Though actually today, that was the early years. I mean, it's going pretty well, but it's...
Yeah, but it's all a matter... It can come down to defining what you need better on the front end and the communications between the people who are going to be using this stuff and the contract officers has to improve. The contractors or contracting officers aren't techies,
right?
So there's better communications going to have better contracts.
Yeah, but the competition around that one will be very interesting. One team that's announced is Harris is leading a team, and on their team, they have but I know they have Cisco, which is interesting because Cisco usually think of being on everybody's team, but in this case, they're really kind of pushing some of their server data center technologies that they've been acquiring and building to go head to head with HP.
Okay,
and HP has had bought EDS, so they're the incumbent on NMCI.
Right,
Harris was on the EDS HP team for NMCI because Harris bought Multimax, which was a big partner. So that's going to be, a formidable team for EDS. It'll be a multiple award contract. What teams come together is definitely something we're going to be watching.
Yeah, and the multiple award winners don't determine who's going to make the money.
Right, right. So. And you see that's bring up a good point with that because. Moving to NMCI was such a painful experience for so many of these offices that
Almost
are they going to want
involved?
Are they going to want to move off to somebody else? I mean, I think HP has a right there. Just in that has an advantage.
Yeah, the incumbent always has the advantage,
right.
But market share is never owned.
That's
here.
True.
It is rented.
Yeah,
that's a Bob Davis line. By
okay.
I love that line. Got to give credit where credit is due. All right, so let's migrate on to some of the policy and procurement issues then. What are they?
Wow, there's a lot. I mean, the new Congress, you have the House controlled by the GOP.
We have to reduce the number of FTEs and cut 10% of the spending for professional services. That confuses me.
Yeah, it's like they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. I mean,
yeah.
I think what they should do is just say we need to reduce costs 15%. And then you figure it out.
I don't want an arbitrary figure.
Well, but
there are redundancies between what a lot of agencies do.
Right,
we can save money there.
Yeah, but I heard Michael Dell speak last week, and he was talking about how some of the cost savings, the commercial lessons, private sector lessons that the government needs to learn. There's a technology CEO council that Dell is on, and IBM, and some other companies, and they've come out with this report, a trillion reasons. They say that the government can save $1 trillion by doing some of the things that the private sector has done, like consolidating infrastructure, which, you know, the government is you know, Vivek is really pushing mm-hmm. that. But one of the things he talked about was, you know, because someone asked him, how do you, you know, a CIO is there for 18 months, 2 years, if you're lucky, how do you institutionalize these things? And he said, you take the money away. You say you are going to consolidate and you're going to save money, and here, I'm taking the money away, because then they have to do it. That's the hammer there is the money. So who controls the purse strings is the one that will get it done. Now, whether they can actually do that.
Last time I heard, Congress controls the purse strings. Are we still operating on a continuing resolution?
Oh, yeah. That'll be very interesting with the new Congress and all the people that came in with the Tea Party. Are they going to support raising the debt limit? I think that's March 4th, is that when that runs out? It's sometime in March.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Tea Party, I think, will go ballistic if they raise it. And so what does that mean? They have to face that idea that the way you govern is to compromise, particularly when you have, you know, parties sharing power. And how will they react to compromise? Will they, you know, will they get, you know, pissed and go go form a third party in 2012? And, you know,
they got a separate response to the State
right.
of the Union.
That's right. And hopefully for their sake that they don't have that person doing the responses from now, you know, in the future.
I slept through
the whole
thing. She
was a little the eyes were all over the place.
They needed
a camera coach her a little bit more.
I'll have to go catch it on YouTube because I didn't watch any of it. It'll either interrupt my cartoons or my sleep. So,
I will miss the days when Comedy Central, they used to pick up the feed of the State of the Union, and then they'd do little jokes like they do like the Mystery Theater.
Mystery Science Theater.
The guys watching that, and little they have little bubbles, and then they stop that.
Stewart was part of that, wasn't he? Way back when?
Maybe.
Wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. But people to watch in the Congress and the impact. Boehner, what's your take?
Well, you know, it'll be, and this is not an original thought to me, but
right.
some of the other people I've heard talk about that Boehner and Steny Hoyer are the two really to kind of watch as far as, you know, the House getting things done, because those two are, you know, professional politicians. They've been there a while. They know how to make deals, or, you know, and that if you see those two line up on something, that's something that's going to get done.
Right.
If they're apart.
Of course, if Boehner lines up with Hoyer, the Tea Party people will be throwing tea bags.
Right. Right. So I think those are two to kind of watch. I mean, we can't ignore, Nancy Pelosi when she's still the party leader, but I think she's just been too divisive, I think, for real progress to come from her. And the same with, you know, Eric Cantor. I mean, he's sort of like the Republican version of Pelosi. So those will be the ones that are kind of leading the opposition. Daryl Issa and what he does with his committee will be very, you know, very
scary.
Yeah. it's funny. I've been getting on Twitter more, and he's on Twitter, but he has this one thing. Do you want your government? It's the same thing all the time, just kind of sitting there in the feed. He's never updated, but I think the focus of the oversight will shift maybe a little bit more to government management, but it's definitely going to pull the contractors in.
Okay, well, at least Hoyer and Boehner have a clue about the management of government, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
My guest today is Nick Wakeman. Nick is the editor-in-chief of Washington Technology. When we come back, we're going to do a wrap-up on all of this stuff that will impact how we do business in the government market. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Oh, would you look at this bill?
Tired of paying way too much to your alarm company and not getting real security service? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems and pay just $18.95 a month, and there's no cost to switch. Why Ackerman? Ackerman has more than 40 years of industry-leading experience and was recently named Dealer of the Year out of over 30,000 companies. Ackerman has its own UL and CSAA 5 Diamond Certified Monitoring Center. Put simply, with Ackerman Security Systems, you get the most qualified professionals in the industry monitoring your home for just $18.95 a month. Over 180,000 people enjoy peace of mind with Ackerman. So whether you want a new system or want to switch to reliable monitoring for just $18.95 a month, call 888-999-1070, 888-999-1070, or visit AckermanSecurity.com. Federal employees call today and get 4 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Since 1886, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, D.C. has been helping children in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Now they are visited by over 3,000 children every day. The club teaches character and leadership development and arts education. No child is turned away for being unable to pay the $25 fee, and the club needs your help to make this happen. Give a gift online at bgcgw.org. The life you lift up today will be the life that brings a better world tomorrow. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by ARINC.
Thai and Cambodian troops battled for 2 hours last Friday along a disputed stretch of their shared border. They were trading artillery fire that observers say killed two people near an 11th century temple that's a UN World Heritage Site. The fighting was some of the fiercest in years between the two countries. Tensions between them have escalated in recent days because of pressure from a Thai nationalist group urging the government in Bangkok to reclaim the land. I'm J.J. Green.
If you've ever stumbled in the dark, did you ever stop to think how difficult it is for our military to see what they need to see and nothing else during night warfare? ARINC has. ARINC provides design solutions for night vision devices, helmet-mounted displays, and laser eye protection, just to name a few. They help all branches of our armed forces to see better, fly and land faster, and most importantly, more safely. ARINC helps today's military forces become ready for tonight's warfare challenges. For more information and career opportunities, log on to ARINC.com.
A growing advanced persistent threat is negatively affecting the way society, business, and government conduct safe and reliable communications across the World Wide Web. In the U.S., this advanced threat is adversely affecting the key intellectual property, sensitive information, and the critical systems that power our economy and ensure national security. Protecting against this threat requires an integrated approach that touches people, process, and technology to leverage and provide a way of thinking and action to address the threat challenge. Finding a solution requires us to explore how advanced persistent threats have evolved and what the global and national implications are across society, business, and government. Listen to Advanced Persistent Threat, Industrial Strength Hacking as part of the Booz Allen Hamilton Expert Voices panel series featuring top cyber experts across government, industry, and academia on February 8th at 12 noon on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. For more information, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Booz Allen, or visit the Expert Voices blog at boozallen.com/expertvoices.
Since 1886, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, D.C. has been helping children in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Now they are visited by over 3,000 children every day. The club teaches character and leadership development and arts education. No child is turned away for being unable to pay the $25 fee, and the club needs your help to make this happen. Give a gift online at bgcgw.org. The life you lift up today will be the life that brings a better world tomorrow. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
Connect with Federal News Radio wherever you are. Like us on Facebook to see the hottest news stories on your wall. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/FedNewsRadio. Download our free iPhone app. Just go to the App Store and search for Federal News Radio. And now, connect to the radio station straight from your cell phone. Just call 712-432-6616. Go to federalnewsradio.com and search for social media for details.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Nick Wakeman, Editor-in-Chief of Washington Technology. Nick, let's start with the, or wrap up with the 25-point plan from OMB.
Yeah, it's a lot of points on that plan. It's an unfortunate, I think, you know, to have it called a 25-point plan. I mean, AA only has, what, 10 steps? To be so
10
or 12. So, but I do think it's interesting. There's nothing in there that no one has not talked about in the past. But I think it seems that they're with the budget coming out the 14th, we'll see how much muscle and teeth is behind it to institutionalize. Better project management, better communications. I think the cloud first thing. I think that they're really pushing that. So I think that's the people I'm talking to. They're really going to be watching the budget to see how they institutionalize that plan, and hopefully they can. As a taxpayer, I mean, if they can save the money they claim they can save with that, I mean, we'll all benefit.
Okay. It's pleasant to think so.
Yes, it is. It is.
But you know, the budget. Submissions, the reductions. Where's this going to come from?
Well,
do you have any thoughts? Sorry to put you on the spot.
No. I mean, I think you know, professional services, especially if you're in the business of you know, kind of providing. You know, if you're a body shop type company, I mean, it's going to hurt your business. I think more. It really, as we've been talking about a lot in this, it really's got to focus on mission. And so I think you'll see what they're willing to spend money on is going to be more, you know, more aligned with that. And I think you're going to see some arbitrary goals. I mean, I know you were saying, you know, you don't like that, but I think that's what we're going to see is probably, you know, cut 15%. I don't think they're going to say specifically cut 15% of your contractors or cut 15% of but I think you'll see more focus on, you know, reducing costs. And hopefully if this 25-point plan comes in with this communication with industry, hopefully they'll follow what they're sort of doing in the UK, where they're calling in their contractors and saying, look, we're in a crisis. We've got to save this much money. How can we save it? And make it I think there's potential there for collaboration. And I think when you look at, you know, data center consolidation, you know, consolidating supply chain, energy, I think there's things they can spend money on now that will pay, you know, have that return on investment pretty quickly within, you know, a year or two. So,
okay.
So we'll see.
We will indeed. Winners or losers, or does everybody come up short here?
I think everybody's going to feel pain. I think the companies that, you know, that don't panic, that, you're not going to see the big guys really fall because they're just too big. And I'm not saying they're too big to fail, but, you know, some of these companies have been around 80, 90 years, so they might be big and slow, but they adapt and they, so I think you'll see that.
They also employ a heck of a lot of people.
Right. That's true.
You know?
And that's what you'll see. You know, I know they want to cut. This is an area we don't cover, but trying to cut the Marine Expeditionary Vehicle, which I know I mispronounced, but Congress doesn't want them to do it because it's jobs and districts and things like that. So it's really hard, those big dollar amounts to cut.
It all gets back to the home district.
Yeah.
And a lot of the Tea Party people are going to figure that out very soon.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting in Congress operating without earmarks. How that,
I'm a fan of that particular notion. So it's not to say that a lot of earmarks don't go to good causes, depending on your political persuasion. You know, they cover all types of things. But there, you know, if you can't put it through in a regular contract, you know, why do it?
Right.
Okay.
No, I agree.
Yeah, so
I don't know if we'll ever see, I remember Robert Byrd wanted to be a billion-dollar business for West Virginia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he did it.
And he did it. Yeah. And, you know, they kept electing him. So.
Yeah.
But everybody who complains does it too.
Yeah.
So it's you know, whatever.
Well, when you do it, it's not a bad thing. That's no. You know.
And you never do it as much as the other guy.
That's right.
You know, and nobody did it as much as Mirtha. Well, you know, Mirtha wasn't always the big one.
Yeah.
That's been, you know, people don't publicize that, but other people are in the running. So let's migrate on here to some predictions, because we are starting to run short on time.
Okay.
So what are your thoughts here?
Well, I think we'll see for the overall market. You know, I think we'll see slower organic growth, maybe even flat growth.
Mm-hmm.
The report, I think, came out recently that said that the amount of money on contracting actually spending went down. But I think you need to look at sort of what's underneath of that to see where the growth opportunities are, which is going to be, you know, cyber and health and command and control and things like that. There's going to be a lot more pressure on profitability for companies because you're going to have fewer dollars, more companies chasing those dollars. So, you know, price is still going to be a critical element when you're bidding on things.
Well, let's take a brief but quick look at the small business side of that. Is that going to reduce the opportunities for small business to partner on these things? Are they going to fill in technical gaps?
That's a really good question, and I think it remains to be seen because, you know, you still have pretty hefty goals. But,
and we have the new women-owned program as well.
Right. But these companies, you know, there's going to be less willingness or less – they may not want to partner as much because they want to hold on to more of the pie for themselves. I'm talking about the prime contractors.
Right, yeah. But as the contracts are written, they still have certain set-aside goals that they are responsible for.
Right. So, I think it will have an impact on small business. Will probably feel more than anybody else, and despite the goals,
yeah.
Because
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, because I'm just not sure, you know, how they hit those goals or how close they get. But I think definitely pressure on profitability, continue to see acquisitions, you know, more competition. It's not going to be, you know, I think 2011 is going to be more of a almost more of a steady state if they can pass a 2012 budget, which is a big if.
Yeah.
I think that 2012 is where we really start seeing these things.
What happens if we have an inability to pass a budget?
Hopefully, I don't know. I mean, it's funny. I mean, I guess what are we on a continuing resolution now? So for 2010, I think 2010 was budgeted more than what was requested for 2011. So, I guess we'll continue at that state. I don't know. It's really disgusting to me that they can't pass a budget. I mean, that's their.
It's constitutionally mandated.
Yeah, and that's their only real job.
Yeah.
Is to pass a budget.
Yeah,
and they can't do it.
Oh my gosh, Nick! It's always a pleasure to have you in. Washington Technology is a great read. If you have not, if you don't get it, read it online, WashingtonTechnology.com. There's always good stuff. I'm always posting articles in various LinkedIn groups. You know, just great. If you're a contractor and you don't read this, shame on you. And if you're a contractor and you only read it occasionally, read it more often. Thank you.
Thanks for the plug, Mark. Appreciate being here.
Well, you know, I love the magazine, man. It's great. It's like Federal News Radio. If you're not listening to it, you're definitely off center. But which is a good lead in. You've been listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest has been Nick Wakeman, editor in chief of Washington Technology. This is not my day job. My seminar, which started in 2001, Government Marketing Best Practices, is back in March. March 9 and March 22, and we are hosting it now at George Mason University. You can find information at federaldirect.net, and it'll be posted on all my groups on LinkedIn by